It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Hey, I am so happy to be with you. I am Amber May, and today we are going to talk about joy. I just feel like this is something that a lot of people need to hear, because whatever they're experiencing in their current situation is probably sorrowful. Maybe they lost their joy. Maybe you lost your joy. Maybe you're going through a hard time. Or this is something that you just need to store in your memory. So if something comes up in your life that steals your joy, maybe you'll remember this or share it with someone who needs to hear this message. So before we get started, I would love for you to do me a favor. I would like you to screenshot this that you're listening to the Amber May Show and share it on your stories, on your Instagram stories. And I am going to share you by sharing me. And you can follow me on Instagram at AZLady with a Z at the end. AZLady with a Z at the end. AZLady Z. You can follow me on Instagram or you can follow me on Facebook. So I'd love for you to follow me on Instagram. Share this, screenshot it, share it to your stories, and I'm going to share you. Thank you very much. Okay, so this is super important to me because I just feel like the Lord is laying on my heart to talk about joy. And I can share some of my stories with you too about joy. First of all, what is joy? Let's talk about that, because if we don't know what we're talking about, we can't really understand and go further. The definition of joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And that's what we think about. We think that when we are trying to find joy, maybe we lost our joy, that we should be happy, because the scripture kind of talks about joy in a different way, and we're going to get into that. So what's the difference between joy and happiness? Because these are two different ideas. They're similar in nature, but they're different and how they're different. So when I Google searched the definition of joy, this also came up. What is the difference between joy and happy? Well, I'll tell you what the internet said. It said, joy and happiness are wonderful feelings to experience, but are very different. And it comes when you make peace with who you are, why you are, and how you are. Whereas happiness tends to be an externally triggered and is based on other people, things, places, thoughts, and events. So let me break this down one more time. It comes when you make peace with who you are, why you are, and how you are. That is joy. I am going to tell you about a study that was done, that was given to us in my MOPS group, which stands for Mothers of Preschoolers. I wish I could take credit for this study. Can't. There was a lady named Andrea. She came to talk to our group, and she wanted to talk about joy. And it's something that I needed at that moment, and I held on to her little story or her little study. And the cool thing is she made a handout, which made it super easy to remember her journey with joy and trying to figure out joy. You know, it's not always easy to have joy in your life, and sometimes we don't have joy for quite some time. And she said, joy is a choice, moment by moment, hour by hour. And I totally would agree with her. Sometimes it's very hard to keep that joy. We have to consciously remember moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour, because sometimes when we go through the hardest times in our life, whether it's a loss of a child, a loss of a job, a loss of a spouse, a loss of something, or we're going through maybe a serious health issue and it's hard to find joy when our body doesn't feel good, it takes us moment by moment, hour by hour, and it's always a choice. So what is joy? Well, she said joy isn't happiness, which we already know. It's choosing to be at peace with your purpose in your current season. So what purpose do you have right now? That's what I would ask you. So let me go back to my story when I know for sure that I lost my joy. I definitely lost my joy. And this is one of my biggest points whenever I talk about my business with essential oils, or whether it's my show, and you've heard if you've been a part of my show for any length of time, you know that I constantly go back to my story, and you're probably tired of hearing it, but there's always going to be new ears to the story, to my show, to my message, and so be with me for just a second as I talk about it. So I for sure lost my joy after the miscarriage of my third baby. That took me to the edge, okay? And it was very hard to get joy back. But what was really hard was my fourth miscarriage, because it happened 3 days before my sister's wedding. So I didn't want to tell anyone in my family. I woke up at like 2 or 3 in the morning with this pain on my side. And I already knew what that was, because I had experienced an ectopic pregnancy with my third miscarriage. And that's the miscarriage that sent me to the edge. I hadn't had a child at this point. And I thought, how could I lose another one? I've been through so much loss. Doesn't God know how much pain I'm in? How come he keeps letting this happen? Et cetera, et cetera. And so I already knew instantly I had to go to the emergency room. By this time, I had been a mother of a 2-year-old little girl. I was so blessed. I don't know how I became a mom. It's a miracle. She's my miracle baby. And even that pregnancy was hard because I was hospitalized. And the fear of like losing my baby because my health was so poor was still there. And I was so far along in my pregnancy in my last trimester. So it was very scary. Every time I got pregnant, it was not a happy moment for me. It was not happiness. There was no happy. There was no joy. It was hard because the fear kept in. Am I going to lose this child? Am I going to lose this child? 3 times, yes. Then I got a baby, and now I'm at my fourth pregnancy, and I knew I was going to lose that child. Now, I already lost one fallopian tube from my third miscarriage. It ruptured. My life was on the line at that point. It was a ticking time bomb, and I was rushed into emergency surgery, and my doctor saved my life, and I am so grateful for that. When you find someone who literally saves your life, that person is in a special place in your heart and in your mind, and forever and ever, I will be grateful to that man. Not only did he save my life, but he saved my niece's life. Not only did he save my life and my niece's life, but when I was hospitalized and I was so sick and my organs were on the brink of shutting down, not only was he trying to save my life then, but he was working very hard to save my daughter's life. This man is in the life-saving business, and we take it for granted when they have the word doctor in front of their name. So if you have a doctor, thank him or her for what they do, because it's not easy. The stress, the weight that's on their shoulders is not easy. So I lost my fourth child, and I was praying, and I asked the saints, pray that I can keep my fallopian tube, because I was only a mother of one and I wanted to keep growing my family. However, if I was to lose that fallopian tube, my last one, at least I was still a mom, and I was grateful for that. So in that moment, I was choosing joy because I was grateful that I was still a mother. But during that, so I was hospitalized, and on Friday we had dress rehearsal. So as soon as they released me from the hospital, I had to go straight to dress rehearsal. Now, I'm dying inside, right? Dying inside. But I have to be happy. I don't want my sister to know. I don't want her to have her day ruined because of a loss in my life. So I was just praying to God. I'm like, God, please help me get through this. And he spoke to me and he said, I place my joy on earth for you. And immediately I thought of my joy essential oil. And I grabbed onto that. And I just slathered that on my body, and I just kept it on through the rehearsal and then the next day for the wedding. And I was so grateful for that oil. And that's something I do want to talk about when we're talking about emotions, because there's so many essential oils that are good and it helps us through the hard time, because you have a tendency as a person to want to grab something to numb the pain. With the loss of my third child, the substance that I was leaning for was alcohol. Now, it was I look back now and I know it was only the power of God that I didn't go down that path. But now I understand, I have the understanding, how come some people turn to alcohol, turn to drugs when they're in so much pain? Because they just want to escape that pain. It's so deep inside. And until you've been into a place of deep hurt, you can never understand why someone would want to turn to a substance. And it was only God that stopped me from picking up a bottle. There was nothing inside of me. I did not have the capacity, the energy, the thought to stop myself from picking up a bottle of alcohol just to numb the pain. I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to go to work. I didn't want to do, I lost so much joy and happiness. And so when you are in that place, you want to grab a substance, like a great substance that I can offer you. And it's based on my own experience. And I use Young Living essential oils because of their quality. And if you want a free sample, that'll be in the show description, or you can email me by going to my website at infoonoils.com. The essential oils work on the limbic part of the brain. That's the area that has memory. It helps with learning. So it affects that right away. And so when you're using essential oil, you are triggering that part of the brain. And when God placed that oil in my brain, I went to it and it helped me get through that hard time. It helped me be able to put a smile on my face, pretend that everything's okay, so my sister could have a joyous day. Now, since then, the Lord has been blessing me with the ability to use my essential oils and just hand out samples to people who are hurting. And I'm hoping that they use it, because, you know, there was a lady who I was at church with, and I had no idea what was going through her mind, what going through her life. No idea. And the Lord told me to send two essential oils to her. And I felt so weird because I haven't been in touch with her for so long. And I'm like, oh, she's going to think I'm a weirdo. But I'm like, you know, if God's putting her on my heart, there has to be a reason. And how he's going to use these oils, I don't know. I really don't. But it turns out that's the day, or around that time, she was signing her divorce papers. And the Lord sent me, told me to send her Valor, the oil of, we know it as the oil of courage in Young Living, and joy. And I can't imagine what she must be going through at that time. I really can't. And I had no idea until much later. And I'm just blessed that God used me in that capacity. So if there is something that you want, a substance to help you get through dark times, I would say there's so many emotion oils, and there's a lot of people within Young Living who have used those oils to help them deal with really hard times. So what kind of things steal our joy? Well, comparison, according to her study. Again, I'm relating back to this the study that Andrea did. Comparison. You know, the anecdote of that would be celebration and gratitude. So you could look at 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Comparison steals our joy, hands down, every single time. And social media can play a big part of that, because we're only putting our best out there. We're not putting our hurts and our pains and all that. We're always going to show our best self. And sometimes people's lives look so much better than ours, even if we don't know all the backstory. Another thing that steals our joy is perfectionism. You're not good enough. Thinking you need to be better because you're not perfect. Well, let me break it down for you. You're never going to be perfect. That's something you're always going to struggle with, because not one human being on this earth except Jesus Christ was ever perfect. So the anecdote to that is saying, I am good enough, and pausing when that anger starts flaring up that you're not perfect, and you start that self-talk that's negative, instead of talking to yourself and telling you what you really are. And if you want to know who you really are, I would honestly tell you to pause this show right now, and I want you to Google God's love letter. God's love letter. And that's going to tell you exactly who you are, and I'll put that in the show notes. God's love letter. And I love listening to that periodically. And God's love letter, I don't know how I found it, but I was working at the radio station at the time, and it's during my miscarriages, and I found that, and that is one of the breakthroughs that I had with God, because I hated him so much during my third miscarriage. I hated him so much. I see why people turn away from God. I can understand why people hate God, because God is all powerful and he can do anything. And yet he let me. He didn't do it to me, but he let it happen knowing I was going to be in so much pain. But there's a purpose behind allowing me to do this. Like, there was a purpose between why Job went through all he went through, so it could benefit us, so we can learn from him. And I guess the reason why God allowed me to go through all that, so I can understand people who turn away from God altogether. So I can understand people that want to turn to a bottle, put a needle in their arm, or something like that. Gives me an understanding. Not that I know everything about them, but at least I can understand that feeling of, I want to numb the pain. I want to get out of the pain. I hurt so bad. And God could have taken care of it, and he didn't do it, so now I hate him. I went through that, and it took a long time for God to get through to me. And I couldn't see it for a long time. I honestly thought God abandoned me. I really, really did. And then after I start the healing process and allowing God back in, I mean, it was crazy. God never left me, not once, and he's never going to leave you. And someday you're going to get to a point, you're going to look back and you're going to see every single footprint, every single place that God was trying to help you get through the hurt. And one of the scriptures in God's love letter, it says, one day I will wipe away every tear from your eye. And I will take away all the pain you ever suffered on this earth. And as I was kind of at the tail end of my healing, I really clung on to those verses. And I serve a God who knows pain, because he himself watched his son die. He himself was beaten and hung on the cross. He also had people in his life die that he cared about. He was tempted just like you and I are ever tempted. God knows everything we go through, because he humbled himself in a form of a servant to be an example to us. He knows, at the time of him being on this earth, people hated him. He knows what it's like to be bullied. He knows what it's like to be hated. He knows what it's like to be spat upon. He knows what it's like to have people lie about him. He knows what it's like to be beaten beyond recognition. He knows what it's like to lose a best friend in death. I mean, there's not one single pain that he cannot understand, because he came down to earth in the form of a servant to understand that pain. I mean, he suffered every temptation known to man. So there was temptation of substance abuse, because he had to feel all the temptation. He knows the temptation of walking away. Remember, Satan tempted him in the desert. So I serve a God who knows exactly what I'm going through. And perfectionism is not something that you're ever going to attain. But I want you to remember, you are good enough. And when you feel that, pause, take a deep breath, and I want you to say out loud, I am good enough. The other thing, according to Andrea, says that steals our joy is expectation. We expect something, and when we don't get that thing that we expected, it can steal the joy. So the anecdote to that, she said, is give credit and give grace. I love this like mathematical equation she put together with expectations. She says, expectation minus reality equals disappointment. Expectations minus reality equals disappointment. We need to give grace for ourselves and others. No one's perfect. The person who hurt you isn't perfect. Your life isn't going to be perfect. But there's someone in this world that loves you. And that's God. So I really recommend that you get that and listen to God's love letter to you. So when you're going through all this, remember what I said in the beginning, joy is a choice, moment by moment, hour by hour. So how do we choose joy? Well, some scripture that she came out with is Matthew 20:26. It says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you, you must be a servant." Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Isn't that exactly what Christ did when he came down? He's God Almighty, came down to earth in a form of a servant. Matthew 23:12 is another scripture she pulled out. And she said, the scripture says, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humbled themselves will be exalted." Another good scripture that she came out with was Nehemiah 8:10. And I want you to pay attention to the last part of this verse, okay? Nehemiah was a prophet to Israel in the Old Testament. And it said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So even when you are not going through a period of joy, God is your strength. He can be your joy when your circumstances are crap and you're in pain and you're not happy. Your joy is in Christ, who conquered everything you are going through. Even when it doesn't feel like he's holding your hand, he is. You're going to see the other side of whatever you're going through, because he's not going to let you fail. Just remember, joy is a choice, moment by moment, hour by hour. So you have to consciously choose. God, you are my joy. Mankind will fail me. My kids will fail me. My husband will fail me. My health will fail me. My job will fail me. But you will never fail me. And he didn't fail me with my pain and suffering. So the question is, why choose joy? Well, for me, being a mom gives me the opportunity to be like Jesus. For Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Because the time we have with our kids, with my kids, are so limited. Because my kids are watching me. Because I want my kids to have good memories of us. That's my reason for choosing joy these days. What's your reason for choosing joy? Why do you want to choose joy? Do you want to be an example to your children? Do you just not want to live in the place that you're living now, which is painful? Because who wants to live in the place of pain? It's very uncomfortable to live in that place. Very uncomfortable. So that is something I wanted to share with you today. I want you to choose joy. And I want you to think, are you at peace with your purpose in your current season? Why or why not? What is your purpose in your current season? Sometimes that's a very hard question to answer. I'm asking that to God right now. God, what is my purpose right now? What am I supposed to do right now in the season that I'm in, Lord? I want you to give me purpose. Tell me what I need to do. Because, you know, sometimes we know what our purpose is in that season, but then our seasons change and we don't know what our purpose is. Is what you're going through right now going to help someone in the future? For me, that kind of was a helpful way for me to get over some of the pain I had with my miscarriages, knowing that there's going to be a woman out there who's going to hear my story, who's going to be where I was, and who's going to need that hope, because she might be in a hopeless state where I was in a hopeless state. And I hope that's not true, but That's what I was thinking as I was healing in my process, that maybe God thought I was strong enough to handle it so that I can hold someone's hand and walk them through the road I was on. And will you use the antidotes to help you find joy and to choose joy? I hope you will. So instead of comparing ourselves, you're going to celebrate and you're going to be grateful for where you are in your current life right now. You're going to ditch perfectionism and you're going to remember, I am good enough. And if you have to, start putting mantras on your mirror. It's silly. I felt so silly. I did this and I still have some and I like to read them. And there was one sermon our pastor did and it was so good. And I was like, you know, I really need to focus on this and I want it to be on my mirror. So I asked for his notes. I put it on my mirror and I read them. And it started changing my mind. You know what I love about what God says? He says you can transform by the renewing of your mind. You can transform by the renewing of your mind. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that super powerful? Where you are now, the identity that you tell yourself, the things that you're saying to yourself that might be self-hate, transform that by the renewing of your mind. When you say, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm not good enough, I want you to say the opposite. Someone asked us, I just heard this actually today. Someone said, the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. If loving your neighbor as yourself, no, what did he say? He said, let me ask you this. Is loving your neighbor as yourself good news for your neighbor? In other words, are you treating yourself well? Because if you're not, that's how you're going to love your neighbor. So if you're telling yourself all these awful things, that's not loving yourself. Therefore, how can you really love your neighbor? It all boils down to us. You can transform by the renewing of your mind. So I want you to take out the things that you're saying and use an anecdote and be the opposite. You might feel silly. You know how silly I felt? I felt so, so silly posting those on my mirror and my husband seeing it, and he gets to see what I'm struggling with. And it's embarrassing because I don't want him to know those things about me, because I want him to see me as someone who's beautiful and wonderful, and I don't want him to see me in my weakness. I don't. So I was embarrassed to even put that in my mirror for him to even see that I need to tell myself I am loved and that he loves me and that people care about me. But it's helped. And so if it helped me, it's going to help you. So even if you feel silly, put something on your mirror every day that says something good about you. Well, I hope this has helped. I hope this has clarified how to get joy back into your life. It's a choice moment by moment, hour by hour. God is the giver of all good gifts. So I would ask you to rely on him and ask you for some good gifts to come your way. Again, I'd love you to screenshot the show, share it on your Instagram stories. And if you want to know more about essential oils, you can head on over to the show notes. I also have a YouTube channel, AZ Lady Z, same as my Instagram. And I can give you 3 free samples of Young Living's most popular essential oils. You can go to infoandoils.com. And there's so many wonderful oils for emotional health, like Joy is what helped me. There's Wine Angelica, there's Valor for Courage. There's just a ton. There's stress, there's calming oils. There's a lot, and there's several that come in the premium starter kit. That's how I got going. Well, I hope this is a blessing to you. Remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, because eventually number two will look out for you. You take care.